I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Saturday, April 15th, 2023, and this is episode 213 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing is that I turned in the manuscript. I sent it on Monday. I had spent last weekend reading through things. I had a little punch list of things I wanted to hit before I actually turned it in. So there were little things like there was some world building details that I wanted sprinkled in a little bit more, like a specific closing word. And it's sort of like an amen or Selah or so be it, you know, some kind of thing that some of the characters would say at the end of certain sentences. And I realized during the last pass that it only appeared like twice in the book. And so I went back and found where I could put it in like three more times. So it's like five times or something like that in the book. There was a term that I was using for world building that I decided wasn't being used enough. And so instead of adding more, I cut it out completely. So it was only being used twice, same situation, but I was like, not quite working. I'm not threading this word in enough for it to mean or for the context to be clear when you hear it. So I removed it. And like little things like that I was doing, I ran the first few chapters and the last few chapters through Pro Writing Aid, which is the software that I use. It's sort of like Grammarly that does automatic grammar checks. I got really tired of it. It's hard for me to run a whole book through Pro Writing Aid because it's just so boring. But I at least wanted the beginning to hit. And because I knew the end, I always spend less time on the end of books. Although this time I actually went through the end many times. Like the last week was all reading and rereading the last 10 chapters or so. But still, they're always written more quickly. So I try to focus some of the grammar checking on that because I feel like it's worse. It needs it. It's a little bit less polished. But like to do the whole book in a couple of days, like if I had an extra week, then I could just split it into chunks and run it all through Pro Writing Aid. But I just didn't have the energy last weekend. So little tweaks like that, then exporting it from Scrivener, which is the writing software, and checking the export to make sure the formatting is correct. I did put epigraphs for every chapter. And so some Scrivener formatting Word document things that I wanted to make sure of. And then I remember hearing years ago on a podcast, some other author talking about they had self-published a book and somehow one of the chapters was missing. Like chapter three was just missing. And nobody noticed for like months. And so ever since then, I've been completely freaked out about like turning in a book or publishing it with a chapter missing. So I don't read through the entire Word document once I export it, but I looked at every chapter at the beginning and the end, and I compared it to Scrivener. And I sort of went through it in my mind to make sure, because if I had deleted it in Scrivener somehow, checking it, making sure the Word doc matched the Scrivener doc. I mean, the Word doc is not going to be different than the Scrivener document, so it would have had to have been deleted from Scrivener. And so, yeah, just stepping through, okay, this is where this happens and this happens, making sure like everything happens in the right order. The chapters didn't somehow get in the wrong order, which I have two different mice that I use on my desk. So I have a trackpad, like a freestanding trackpad, and then a trackball mouse. And I use both hands because I'm ambidextrous with mice, but I've started doing this in the past year. But because of that, sometimes a finger will slip and something weird will happen. So it is possible to accidentally reorder your Scrivener chapters. It's not easy to do, but I've done it before accidentally and noticed right away and changed it. So like little obsessive checks like that is kind of what I do the last couple of days. I'm not really writing new words like that. Like I finished the epilogue on Friday. And so some of it is just on a chapter that I wrote for the first time on Friday, reading it over several times, the Pro Writing Aid thing, all of that. And so then finally it came to the title. You know, several weeks ago or a couple months ago, my editor had been like, yeah, we have to go back to the drawing board on the title. And I had wanted to put a title on the manuscript. I've never turned in a manuscript that was untitled before, and it felt weird. So I had come up with a list of potential titles, and I chose my top five from that. And I was going to put one on the manuscript, but then I was like, let me just send the whole list to her when I send the document to my editor. And she can decide, or we can have another conversation about it. But I'll be like, these are my potentials. So I ended up titling the book The Untitled and then Redacted Novel. Because though I've been calling it the Black Towns book in public, I mean, on the podcast and on the newsletter, that's the only public forum that I have mentioned that. In my mind and among my friends who actually read it, there's another title. But for me to tell you that title would be like, A, kind of a spoiler, or B, giving too much away. Like, there's a whole part of this book that is the fantastical aspect of it that I haven't been talking about publicly. And I don't want to put in the blurb, and I want it to be like, when you read it, it's like a surprise. So it might be a little bit difficult for the marketing. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if that holds up or if that is going to be something that I'm going to have to talk about in the marketing. But for now, it's redacted. So it's Untitled Black Blank Redacted Word Novel. And that's what I called it. I don't know why it's important to tell you that, but this is all part of the process for me. So sent it in without a title. And then a couple of days later, I guess this was Thursday. To complete the story, my editor acknowledged receipt of it, which is always nice. And I don't have a timeline or anything, but that's totally fine. So yes, big relief, big celebration, turned in the book. I'm really happy with it. I got to the end and just felt like I did what I set out to do. Even though at the beginning of this process, I didn't know what I was setting out to do. I had this kernel of an idea. And the first draft was not at all, it had just deviated a lot. And so this was a huge rewrite, like an 80% rewrite of that first draft that my editor had originally seen. And so I'm just so much more happy with it now. I feel like it is much more joyful, which was one of the big critiques, that there wasn't a lot of joy in the book. And because it is Black historical fantasy, it does deal with tough topics in Black history. But I still wanted to maintain that factor of joy. I'm not trying to bring people down. I want people to think and to maybe learn some history that they didn't know or be inspired to research some things. Although to a lesser degree than The Monsters We Defy. But still, like, at the end of the day, have an entertaining story that they don't have to be afraid to read. I think I did that. And it was hard, but coming at it from a completely different perspective helped. So I turned in the book, took the week off of writing. I've been sleeping in slightly, doing other things with my morning, mostly like exercising for longer. You know, I started exercising like brief HIIT, high intensity interval training, or like a brief yoga. Before I write, I would do that. I found that if I did anything more strenuous, like if I did a 20-minute workout as opposed to a 10-minute workout, my mind couldn't focus on the writing afterwards. 10 to 15 minutes is like the perfect amount of time to do something hard, like a high intensity workout that gets me energized for the day, but doesn't drain me. At the 20-minute workout mark, I was drained. I couldn't focus. It was a whole different experience. So because I wasn't writing, I was doing longer workouts in the morning and just having a more leisurely morning as opposed to getting up and trying to be at the writing desk at 8 a.m. That was really great this week. So yeah, then Thursday or so, my editor emails me talking about, oh, we're already, you know, starting to brainstorm ideas for the cover. What ideas do you have for the cover? And I legit have not thought about the cover, like, at all. So on that day, I was like, oh, I should start thinking about this. So I created a Pinterest board and was just looking at different covers, trying to get some ideas. I texted my mastermind group. My friend Cerise had an amazing idea for the cover that I was like, yes, outsource your brain to other people. That's a very important thing to do. So I took her idea. I tried to find other covers that had a similar concept to it and then sent those ideas to my editor, and she really liked it. So that's exciting too. I don't know what the timeline is for that. I mean, it'll be months before I see an actual cover, I'm sure. But the ball is rolling. I think we're in summer of 2024 for a release date. Don't have anything more specific than that. And yeah. Other best things for this week. A lot of good things happened. I got the first royalty statement from Hachette, who is the parent company of Orbit Redhook, my publisher, for Monsters We Defy. And so that book came out in August. These were the royalties from August to December. Yeah, so 4 months. I'm like, is that right? So nothing from this year, but from August to December, The Monsters We Defy sold more copies than Song of Blood and Stone did in like 2 years, which is fantastic. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to everyone who has bought the book, checked out the book. So I haven't earned out yet, but I'm on a good trajectory to earn out if the sales continue. And that's really fantastic. You know, I mentioned it, the book went into a second printing recently, and that's exciting too. So it's getting a really good response, and I'm just super, super grateful. The other really cool thing that happened this week is I got to meet Shayna Small virtually. We did a podcast interview together for the Sci-Fi Talk podcast, and I'll let you guys know when that's out. But yeah, I never met her or interacted with her, and it was really cool to be able to just tell her how much I love the audiobook. It was in response to the Audio Award for Best Fantasy Audiobook that Monsters won. And just hearing a little bit more about her process, how she thinks about narrating a book and, you know, creating those performances, bringing the words to life is really fascinating to me. I adore that audiobook, as I've said many times. If you still haven't checked it out, do so. Check out the free sample. Just listen to a little bit of her interpretation, and it is absolutely wonderful. So, so happy with that. So it's very cool to meet her. So I don't really have a writing update per se, because I did not write this week. But, you know, I think I talked about in the last episode the inertia of writing versus not writing. So I've been writing pretty straight. You know, I'll take a couple days off here and there. Sometimes after I finish a book, I think I'll take time off. I don't honestly remember. It's all a blur to me. But for most of the time, like very much the majority of the time, I'm writing 5 to 6 days a week, keeping myself in motion. So taking this week off and looking at, okay, what am I going to do next week? Am I going to stay at rest, or am I going to try to get myself back into motion? And even after a week, you know, getting back to the writing, it's a little daunting because I still think I'm a little burnt out. I was pushing through the end and trying not to let the burnout feeling even acknowledge it, really. But it was definitely there. And I don't know if it's still here. So with the things I have to do, and this is my thought process for this. I have a contract that has not been announced yet, but that book is supposed to be due in October as of now. And then, of course, Beastly Kingdom is coming out at the end of April with a cliffhanger at the end. And people will want to know when the third book, Brutal Fortress, comes out. And I have to write that book. Those are the two things on my plate for this year. So when I initially decided that the due date for this contracted novel, which is the 1830s story for longtime listeners, maybe like a year or two ago, remember me talking about this, I knew that this book was going to be due, the book I just turned in was due April. So I set October and thinking I would give myself some time off. The contracted book, the 1830s book, has a complete synopsis that was approved and had to be approved by other parties. And so it's not like what I usually do, where I change my mind halfway through and come out and get a different approach. Like, I'm writing to this synopsis. I actually wrote the synopsis. So, you know, I did that part earlier on, and I've written the first few chapters of the book for the proposal so that it got sold. So in my mind, it's not going to be that hard. I said I was going to start writing in June. So when I originally did the schedule for the year, I was like, okay, April, I would have all of April, all of May off, or to do the first draft of Brutal Fortress or something, and then start the 1830s book in June. So June, July, August, September, that's 4 months to write it. Should be plenty of time for that first draft that goes to an editor that then gets developmental edits. That's still the plan. So now the question is what to do with April and May. I cannot start Brutal Fortress right now. I just don't think that it's a thing that is going to be healthy for me to do, and then move right on in June to this other book. I could start writing that book earlier, give myself more time, and finish early and then do Brutal Fortress. Or option C, what's behind door number three, is what I'm leaning towards, is just doing something else that nobody knows or cares about or has contracted or is asking for, and that will let me rest and just have fun with the writing, just do something for me. I mean, honestly, the Bliss Wars series, the Savage City series is just for me too, because it's not to market. Strange story that went off in different directions. And I'm really actually excited to write Brutal Fortress. My fear is my burnout, my energy levels, and actual burnout takes a long time to recover from, like months. I don't have months. I guess I do have months. I have 2 months that I can take before the contracted thing comes back. And then I can write Brutal Fortress October, November, December. I don't have a date. I'm sorry. And I'm actually not stressed out about it because I think I'm so tired that too tired to be stressed. But I do apologize in advance for writing a book with the cliffhanger and no date for the third book in the trilogy. It was definitely going to happen, and it's definitely going to happen as early next year as I can have it come out. But yes, initially my plan was to have Brutal Fortress come out at the end of by this year. I don't know what. Sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking when I think about these things. Like, yes, in a perfect world, if I could just write straight through the entire year and not be a human being with frailties, then yes, that would have worked. So yeah, for the course, my world building course that I'm teaching, as part of it, I sort of step through a sample story that I create on the fly and do each of the steps of the world building in each lesson. And I think that's a cool story that I might want to write. I don't know how long that's going to be. I think it's a novel. I would love to write a short story or just a novella, something concrete, short, probably not related to other things. Like business-wise, it would be a great decision to write a prequel novella for The Bliss Wars that I can give away, bring people in as a funnel, and then they can read Savage City and Beastly Kingdom, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not feeling that right now. I thought I had an idea for that, and I think I wrote it down somewhere, but maybe one day before book 3 comes out. Who knows? Right now, for April, I think I just need to rest some more, and that could be resting while writing, but writing as play. And whatever I write, if I like it, I will put it out in some form or fashion, but I'm just trying to protect myself and my energy and my ability to continue and write the other books that need to be written, and look forward to next year and the next book that I'm going to write next year that I'm slowly starting to get the idea for. It's on the back burner. It's there on a very low simmer. Kernel of an idea once again that I'm just allowing to exist in the back of my mind until I have time to focus on it. So I think the best thing for me to do will be to sort of rest in action, do a story just for fun, and see what I'll do with it later. I know that when my good friend Inez Johnson is playing around with Kindle Vella, I don't know how much of my existing audience is on Vella. If this is just a story for play, I don't know how much, you know, a Vella audience will move to other books, or if I should care about that. If this is like just for fun, am I going to release it to my newsletter, serialize it? No clue. Who knows? Whatever. I don't even know what it would be about. It probably, you know, I'm thinking I've been wanting to do this short story collection of like short fairy stories. I want to do a collection of short fairy stories based on a different song on Cree Summer's Street Fairy album. That's been a goal for a long time. I've got one story done out of 10 so far, so I can put my attention there. But yeah, something for fun, something for me, and we'll see. Maybe I'll take another week or two and then I'll be ready, or I won't, and we will continue thinking about this. A Polycon is coming up at the end of the month. And today, just before I started recording, I got more books, more Beastly Kingdom copies from Amazon. They're really, the quality is really good for those. And I'd gotten a couple of copies from Draft Digital, and the cover file was off. So I will see what I'll do with those. But have those. The Monsters We Defy, because it was on back order or because it was going into the second printing, I'd order copies last month, and it was delayed, delayed, delayed. I finally got them 2 days ago, and they're all messed up. They are weird. Like, the edges are all raggedy, and not like in the purposeful deckled edge way. They're raggedy. So I contacted I got them from AuthorAuthor, which is a place where authors can buy their own books at a discount in order to resell them, and it still counts towards our royalties. As opposed to if you get your books from the publisher, you can buy them from the publisher, but they don't count for your royalties and whatever. Anyway, got the books. They're messed up. I don't know if I'm going to have to send them back or if they're going to refund me. I just want the books in 2 weeks so that I can... I should have enough to fulfill all the pre-orders that have happened for a Polycon. But the worst case scenario, I'm not able to sell any more copies at my table of Monsters if I don't get more books in time. So that's really disappointing and it kind of sucks. If I don't have to send these books back, I'll probably sell them on my website at a deep discount for anyone, if anyone's interested in that. Or maybe like there's libraries I could give them to. I don't know. What can I do with them? Like it's still readable. There's still a book and it's bound. It's just the cover is too short for the pages and the pages are all raggedy and coming in a different edges. I'll put a picture in the show notes. It's weird and bad. So yeah, stay tuned. If anyone wants a deeply discounted copy of Monsters, if you know a school or a library or someplace I can donate them, that could work too. Let me know. Other news, I have a guest post up on the Fantasy Cafe. It's called When Fantasy and STEM Collide, and it's for Women in SFF Month. I got the idea for the post, I guess it was last month when I was on the when I did the event with Veronica G. Henry and Nicole Glover. And we were three Black women writing fantasy and all working in STEM. And so I was like, oh yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I had all these essays to write. So I was just looking for topics. And I had 1,000 words or so, 750 words, I don't know, to write on that. So that link will be in the show notes too. I also added a field to my author events database, which is something that I keep in Notion for me to keep track of everything that I'm doing, all of my events. And it already had, you know, like where I'm going, the date, if I'm getting paid, how much, the joining link for all the Zoom links and things like that. But I added two new fields to it that I thought were worth mentioning because I've been thinking a lot about opportunity costs and how I spend my time. And as you get more tired, it's actually easier to say no to things when you're just too exhausted to contemplate doing it. You know, I've had to say no to a couple more things that have come my way recently. And yeah, just thinking about the opportunity cost of what do I get out of this versus what am I spending in time, energy, you know, not being available for other things that I might want to do. So the two new fields I added were for the cost of it and the benefit. So I have a field for payment. So if I get paid to speak somewhere or whatever, I record that. But the cost is for like, okay, a Polycon. The cost, I mean, there is money involved because I have to get the table, get the hotel room. It's 3-4 days of my life. But the benefit is getting to meet fans. Well, I'm selling books, so I'm going to make money off of it. But I'm also getting to meet readers in person, getting to meet a lot of authors and people who are my friends who I don't get to see very often will be in town. Lots of benefits, both of the networking and friendship variety, and then just connecting with readers and making those personal connections, in addition to financial benefits of selling books. So there's that. Whereas other things that I get asked to do is more nebulous. Like, okay, there's going to be a panel discussion. Well, I'm getting in front of the audience of whatever group or organization that is, and that's a benefit. It's more intangible. Like, okay, are they ever going to buy my book? They've heard of me. Maybe this is the first time they're hearing of me and they will be inspired to buy a book. But, you know, you can't really calculate that. So sometimes it's like the possibility, the exposure argument. You know, there's a lot of things you do for exposure. And some of them are more valuable than others. And so, but what is the cost of that? Well, the cost is an hour of my time, technically, but let's say it's a video interview, so I have to like stop what I'm doing early, go potentially change, put on makeup, do my hair, worry about it. And an hour quickly becomes 2 hours because afterwards I'm sort of buzzed and I can't refocus on whatever I was supposed to be doing that day. So usually before I'm a little bit buzzy and nervous and there's that extra energy there. So maybe an hour becomes 3 hours before it's all said and done, almost half a day. Is that cost worth the exposure, right? And I spent years basically saying yes to everything I could physically do. And I know a lot of people feel this way. I know a lot of women, a lot of Black women and women of color, you know, if the opportunity is here, you should take it, because you never know if it's going to not be there. You never know if it's going to be taken away or if you're going to be asked again. And that's just not a healthy mindset for anyone to have. And so I'm trying to get away from that mindset. Like, I still want to be out there. I still want to get the books in front of people. I still want to be put in front of people who have never heard of me so that they might. But at the same time, I'm really factoring in the opportunity cost a lot more than I ever have before, because it's easy to say, oh, this will just take an hour of my time. But obviously, an hour is not an hour. And when an hour is really 3 to 4 hours, an hour becomes half a day of lost productivity, because you can't get into deep work and do meaningful things and then, you know, with some other break or event in the middle, then yeah, it becomes more costly than it's worth. So those are now in my database, and I think it will help me as I weigh what to say yes to. If I have to know, I have to fill out all of these fields when I enter that event into the database, and I don't want to look at a whole row of, you know, the only benefit is exposure, 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 then it's like, that is not enough anymore, I don't think. So I guess there's just different concerns that you have when you're much earlier in your career than when you are, I guess I'm entering middle, the early middle, hopefully. You know, I've been publishing since 2015. I've been traditionally publishing since 2018. And it's becoming a long time. It's getting up there, right? So yeah, those are just some things I'm thinking about. Also, the Footnotes newsletter surpassed 500 subscribers this week, which is a huge milestone for me. So in December of 2022, 5 months ago, I had 40 people on that list. And then I revamped it and started, made it into something else. When it was just the show notes for the podcast, you know, it was very small. And I started sharing it on social media, and then I just started doing promotions. And it grew until, I think we're at 505 today. So part of the reason for the growth, I think, is when we hit episode 200 of the podcast, I was like, okay, I want to do something different with this newsletter. So it was always the show notes, and maybe I would have a couple of other things that I wanted to share, because I am high input and I'm always looking for information, collecting articles. I created my Second Brain database, which I've talked about before. Just when I read something interesting, it's in Notion, it's in the software Notion. And I was thinking about, how can I use this? How can I use everything that I'm collecting and share it with people and hopefully help people? So that's kind of the focus of the Footnotes newsletter. It still includes the podcast show notes, but it is primarily now these sharing of usually 4 or 5 links and then 3 quick bites and then a quote. So anyway, it had been on my MailerLite, which is my newsletter software that I send out my author newsletter, but it was a separate, completely separate entity. And I decided to move it to Substack, because Substack has this sort of growth engine of its own. It has its own ecosystem, like its own sort of recommendation engine. People can find it on Substack. I wanted it to be on the web as well. And for me to do that with MailerLite, like, it was a whole thing. I didn't want to do a whole thing. I wanted something very simple. It's easier for me to create it every week. I can just copy and paste, as opposed to the formatting I was doing before. And so moving it to Substack helped. I was getting some more organic growth through that platform. Sharing it on social helped a lot. That helped me jump from 40 to about 140 within a couple of weeks, really quickly once I started sharing it. And then the organic growth from Substack kicked in. Also, I've been slowly emailing people and asking them to share it with their audiences. So Jane Friedman shared it with her newsletter, which was a big push. And I got a couple hundred people from that, which was great. And so, yeah, I'm slowly doing more cross promotions and asking other people to share it with their audiences. And I'm hoping to get to 1,000 soon. I haven't put a date on it yet, but I've got my eye on my first 1,000 subscribers. And what I'm doing now will always be free, but I do have an eye towards monetizing it in some way. Haven't figured out exactly how I would do that yet. It'd be some sort of extra thing that I would do, but I don't want it to feel like extra. I want it to still be part of something that I can incorporate and enjoy doing and really want to, however frequently I do it. It wouldn't be a weekly thing. Like, you would, you know, join for X number, I think Substack is a minimum of $5 a month, and you would get 2 to 3 extra posts or something a month. And so, yeah, once I figure out what that is, I will designate some mental space and energy to figuring that out. But I just wanted to acknowledge the milestone, and I'm super happy and grateful to everyone who signed up. So if you are not signed up and would like to, myimaginaryfriends.net, it is a weekly free newsletter for creatives and writers full of inspiration about productivity and craft and creativity. So check it out at myimaginaryfriends.net. So that's it for me for this week. My goal for this coming week is to get back into the motion of writing every day, regardless of whether what it is. Maybe I'll just do my 750 words, my stream of consciousness writing, just to keep the engines warm so they don't go completely cold. And hopefully crank out a short story, maybe do some flash fiction. I don't know. I just want to take all of the pressure off and just write and create and just allow myself some freedom. That is the goal. So I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter to get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriends.net. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. Email me at podcast@lpenelope.com, and I would really appreciate a rating and review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/